Friday, 15 January 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. We are in Ezekiel chapter 22, and today, God willing, we'll be over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8. However, let me say welcome to the Calvary Hour. Those of you just joining with us, God bless you for doing so. And for those of you who have been with us for some time, thank you for your faithfulness. Please pray for us. I want to pray for you as well. Father, bless all of our listeners today and speak to my heart, speak to the hearts of each of us today with thy word. Lord God, may we not go through the same thing Israel did, not have to go into captivity, not have to be scattered, not have to be defeated like they were. Help us to learn from thy word. And Lord, not just learn, but to be obedient to thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, according to Ezekiel chapter 22, the reason the Israel had to go into captivity, they were corrupt from the top to the bottom. And I want to say it that way again. They were corrupt from the top to the bottom. God gave the order as it should be. Started with the prophets, then the priests, then the princes, and then the people. Now, once they all had become corrupt, God came looking for somebody that would serve him. And in verse 30, he says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now listen, God is omniscient. I mean, God looked the whole thing over. He looked everybody over. He was looking for somebody that would stand in the gap before him, somebody that would make up the hedge, but he said, "I found none." Well, God, what are you going to do? He said, "This is what I'm going to do. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll tell you how I feel about the Word of God, reading it, studying it, preaching it, listening to it, and so forth. If we don't apply it to our lives, it doesn't do us any good. Would you agree with that? If we do not apply what we read or what we hear, what we receive from the Word of God, if we don't apply it to our hearts and lives, it hasn't really done us any good. In fact, it's worse than not doing us any good because we become more responsible for that which we have heard. The Bible says, "Unto him to whom much is committed, much is to be received." So let's look these groups over real quickly again and make some applications today. Well, first of all, there were the prophets, and they were corrupt. They were preaching lies. They were not getting their message from God. They were complicit with the corrupt politicians, the princes. They were doing what they could for gain. And let me address this to all of us preachers out here today. Preachers, are we preaching the Word of God? Is that what we are preaching? After all, that's all we have been commissioned to preach. Am I not right about that? And are you preaching from the right version of the Bible? Now, don't tell me it doesn't make any difference, because it does. If I'm preaching from the received text, and I read you the Word of God, and you say, "Well, that's not in my Bible. It's not. That's not the way it's said here." No. Listen, somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. And it's not right because I'm right, not wrong because you're wrong. It is the text, dear friend, that makes a difference. And if I'm not preaching from the right text, I'm not going to be giving the right message. Oh, dear friend, my preacher friend, let's be sure we stick with the blessed Word of God, that we ask him to give us grace to rightly divide the Word of truth, that we get our message from him, from his precious Word. Sure, I listen to messages and I get ideas, and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to my heart, and a lot of times I can hardly wait to get to my people to share it with them. But it's because they received it from the Word of God, and thereby I receive it from the Word of God. I remember reading about or hearing about a young preacher that was accused of, quote, stealing, end quote, a message from Mr. Spurgeon, or from copying his message, and he declared that he had not. So these people brought this young preacher in before Mr. Spurgeon. They said, "Mr. Spurgeon, this man has been copying your messages." And basically, I guess they were saying he's not giving you the credit for it. And so the young man said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I didn't do it." Well, Mr. Spurgeon said, "Where did you get your material?" And he told him. And so Mr. Spurgeon said, "Well, that's the same place I got mine from." Oh, yes, thank God for those who have studied the Word of God. But listen, it must be the Word of God. God does give us teachers, and He does give us those who have a great understanding of His Word. That's why we better be careful whose works we study, and we better be careful what we listen to and what we see. But anyway, to get back on track here, I trust real quickly, preachers, God help us to preach the Word of God. Now, I'm not Mr. Holier Than Thou Art, and I'm not asking you to be one either. I know we're nothing but a sinner saved by God's grace. Paul said, "I thank my God who counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." And I know I speak for any saved preacher out there in radio land today. You count it a great blessing that God has counted you faithful to put you in the ministry. Well, then, by the grace of God, let's preach God's precious word. We must have it. Our sheep must have it. I have one of the greatest blessings that anybody could have. On Lord's Day morning, I get to sit in our auditorium Bible class and hear my associate pastor, Dr. Dwight Williams, break the bread of life. God's gifted that man to teach and preach the Word of God, and how it blesses my soul. And a number of times, like last Sunday, I got under great conviction listening to him teach. You know why? Because it was not his ideas he was teaching. He was teaching the precious Word of God. May we teach. Teachers, may we teach. Preachers, may we preach the precious Word of God. And then you notice that the priest, they put no difference between the unclean and the clean. Everything was okay. And in this New Testament dispensation, every saved person is a priest. But dear friend, we ought to live a life that is sanctified, that is set apart for the Lord. Not this holier than thou art. We don't run around with our hands folded up before us. That's not what I'm speaking about. But we should certainly put a difference between the unclean and the unclean, and we should be sure that there's a difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. I'm not speaking about sinless perfection. There's none of us even close enough to be accused of that. At least I'll speak for myself, okay? I won't speak for you. But there should be a difference. Look, our lives as God's people are the only message that some people ever get concerning God. No, our lives are not inspired like the Word of God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this, we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. And, you know, someone has written a song not too long ago that's entitled, I See Jesus in You. Oh, dear friend, the crowd in the days of the church at Antioch, they saw Jesus in that crowd. You know how I know that? Because they called them Christians. They were like little Christ, so to speak. I think it was a derogatory term, but what an honor it was. And dear friend, our lives should manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness and godliness. And then let me address any of you who are serving us in civil responsibilities. Don't ever forget this. According to Romans chapter 13, you also are a minister of God. You're just as much a minister of God as I'm a minister of God. I'm a minister of God in the church, and you're a minister of God in the government. And let me encourage you to do what you do to serve God and His people in the realization that all of us are one day going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have to give an account for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. And for all of us as God's people, oh, may He help us to live for Him. May we be the salt of this earth, the light of this world. This broadcast is targeted for Friday. I hope you're making plans to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. If you cannot be, please join us on the web. We are located at www.calbat.org. www.calbat.org. Our services begin at 9:45. you can hear Brother Williams teaching the precious Word of God. Service time, 5 minutes to 11 and 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, all Eastern time. Please join us next broadcast if you can.